Hi, I'm Marsha Altman, and in today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about my first book, which is called The Darcys and the Bingleys: Pride and Prejudice Continues. It was released in 2008 by Source Books and available online and in stores and wherever you normally buy books, it's probably there. In the first part, I'm going to just generally discuss it for people who have not read the book, and also tell how, give very non-specific things about the book. And in the second part, I'm going to get more specific for people who have read it and want to know, further things about how characters came to be and how I feel about the book, now that time has passed since I've written it. Anyway, if you don't know what this book is about, this book follows the events of Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. The book starts 3 days before the wedding of Elizabeth Bennet and Mr. Darcy, and Jane Bennet and Mr. Bingley, events which occur at the very end of Pride and Prejudice. It's mentioned that they get married, but no specifics are given. And that's where I start my story. If you haven't read Pride and Prejudice, first of all, it's a literary masterpiece. And you probably shouldn't be reading a sequel to it before you read it, because you will be a little bit lost. Or you can just go see one of the many, many adaptations. The 2005 one is pretty good, and it's the shortest. The 1995 BBC miniseries is a masterpiece. But it's also much, much longer because it's a miniseries. My book, by the way, was not inspired by either one. It was inspired by a mix of different elements that I liked from different adaptations as well as the original source material. So, assuming you've read Pride and Prejudice and you know who these characters are, we can move along. And this book is, in case you're trying to differentiate between this and a lot of other books out there, this one does not alter the events of Pride and Prejudice and or reimagine them or put them in another setting. It's concerned with the events afterwards. What happens to these characters after the Jane Austen story is over and they get married, and the story in cases is enclosed in 2 years, between 1803 and 1805. Why I started the book in 1803 has to do with later books in the series have to line up with various historical events. Particularly, Napoleon's invasion of Russia occurs in the third book and is not the centerpiece of the book, it's just going on in the background. And I needed certain characters to be in certain places at that time, so I had to start the series in 1803. There's no particular, reason not to do that. The events of Pride and Prejudice aren't given a date. A lot of people date it when the book was published in 1812, 1813 being the events of the book, but Jane Austen didn't attach any dates. So as long as you set it kind of in that time period of when she lived, you're probably good. And I really wanted to, well, let me start off by saying, how this whole series got started. It's a 10-book series. This is the first of 10 books. And there's two stories in this book. This is actually an 11-story series. And when I went to publish, the first two were too short, so they got made into one book, and that turned it into 10 books, which is a much better number than 11 for a book series. What happened was, I saw the 2005 movie, and it just kind of hit me at a time in my life when I found it much more inspiring than when I had seen the other adaptation and read the book earlier in my life. I liked it. I liked the book when I read it in school. I liked the 1995 adaptation when I saw it in after school, but it didn't, emotionally move me the way that it did in 2005. Just that was a point in my life when I just needed to hear that story and care about it a whole lot. So I decided to see if there was any fan fiction out there, and I did a lot of reading of a lot of fan fiction that was both published and not published on the internet, published for free. And I decided to, fill in some things that I thought were missing, things that other people hadn't done in fan fiction. And I really liked Bingley as a character. I liked him in both adaptations. I liked him in the book. And I thought he was adorable in the 2005 movie. Just adorable looking. He's inspired by that movie. And I wanted to do something about his friendship with Darcy, because that is not a relationship that we see in the book, though it is central to the book's plot line, and it basically determines, whether Jane and Bingley get married. And in fact, it's just hugely important to the plot line, but it's something almost entirely off screen, except when Darcy talks about it to Elizabeth. We basically don't know anything about how they met, or even really why they hang out together. They're very, very different people. They complement each other, kind of, but obviously for Mr. Darcy, it's to his benefit not to hang around with Bingley, who has these annoying sisters, one of whom Miss Bingley wants to marry him. And I really wanted to discuss that in fan fiction. I really wanted to address it and give it its proper, time. I hadn't found a ton of stories that were focused on Bingley. And so I wrote a short story, and I was really very, very terrified about writing historical fiction because I didn't know a lot about the time period. I knew more than average people because I did major in British history in college, but not this particular time period. My focus was Scottish history and about 2 centuries before. So I was on very uneven ground, but I was also posting to fanfiction.net where the standards are very, very low. You cannot go wrong, really, on fanfiction.net. It's very non-judgmental, and there's a lot of quality there, but it is interspersed with people who are 11-year-olds who are trying to write Twilight fanfic and are doing a poor job. On the other hand, when I was 11 and I was writing fanfic, I wasn't doing a good job either, and I became a published author. So, everyone has to grow on their own time. So I wrote a story that was, in my opinion, playfully commenting on the homoerotic nature of male culture in Regency England. This was a mistake. Do not do that. Do not write fanfic that is commenting on the homoerotic nature of Regency England and British and male culture. Just don't do it. It's a bad idea. It was not well received. I mean, it got some accolades, but it also got some negative comments. And for you to get a negative comment on fanfiction.net, you did something really wrong. It's actually a good story. I stand behind it in its quality, but it wasn't what people who read Pride and Prejudice wanted to hear. It just was beyond the pale of kind of what you could do within this fandom. And I was very, very surprised by that. I really was, because in most in fan fiction areas, you can do basically anything and people will be okay with it. But this was, beyond the pale. So I was a little discouraged, but I said, all right, let me see if I can, not do that. And let me see if I have anything else to say. And I wrote a short story called A Bit of Advice, which turned into the first half of The Darcys and the Bingleys. And in this story is basically the premise of the story is it's 3 days before the wedding, and Bingley goes to Darcy and basically says, I'm a virgin and I don't know what to do with on my wedding night, and my wife's gonna be virgin, and it's not gonna be good. And Darcy really does not want to give him any sexual related advice. It's not his style. So instead, he gives him a book which is not named, though they slap the words Kama Sutra on the back of the book and all the publicity materials because they thought that would sell the book. This is my publisher. And the Kama Sutra, at this point in history, had not been translated into English. The book that he gave him was just an undescribed Indian sex manual kind of thing that is not given a title and is put into chapters, and the Kama Sutra is not put into chapters. There's a joke about a chapter 14, and there's no chapter 14 in the Kama Sutra because I was intentionally trying to say it's not that book. Because I know that book had not been translated because I looked it up. Anyway, but I've gotten a lot of just bullshit from people about how, oh, it wasn't translated yet, you didn't do your research, and there's really no point in me telling them, well, it's not me who didn't do the research, it's just that the publicity team made decisions and I didn't agree with them in the end. I thought they were okay at the time, but you know, I was new to publishing. So anyway, and then the story starts to go into the relatives and how Darcy and Bingley met. It flashes back to when they were in college, which some people brought up that there is an age difference between Darcy and Bingley of 5 years. How are they in college at the same time? The answer to that is that Darcy went early. If Darcy went late and Bingley went early, or one of the two. Because you didn't go to college at a certain age. You could go to college as early as 14. You basically went to college for 3 years in when it was appropriate for you to go to college, whatever age it was. So there's not really a set age for college. So they could have crossed paths for 1 year, which they do, and that's how they met, and I describe how they met. And I really enjoyed working with these characters. I really enjoyed working with some of the other characters. Particularly Miss Bingley. And I enjoyed working with Mr. Bennet. It's easy to give him really funny lines. Just he has some of the best material in the entire series. And I had a good time with the story, which, goes a little after the weddings, but basically doesn't describe any sex, in case you're wondering. And I said, well, maybe I have another story in me. So I wrote a story called The Question of Consent, which became the second half of this book. And The Question of Consent takes place 2 years later. At this point, Darcy and Bingley have both had kids. Jane is pregnant again. And Miss Bingley, who is Bingley's older sister, who's still unmarried now, is engaged to a mysterious Scottish earl. And Bingley is not quite sure, who this guy is, or does is his where does his money come from? Should his sister be marrying him? And Bingley has a very strong relationship with his sister, which is implied also in Pride and Prejudice because he's very pliable to what she has to say. But it's really a much more loving relationship the way that I wrote it, even though she's essentially a very destructive character. Certainly in Pride and Prejudice, she is one of the villains. But she never really gets her comeuppance. I guess she gets her comeuppance by not getting to marry Mr. Darcy. But in my story, also flashes back to when they were children, growing up. They were not as rich as they were. Bingley's father was in trade. He was not the landed class. He was not gentry like Darcy. And they didn't grow up really, really poor, but they grew up much less wealthy than they are, and they were much closer when they were young. And that explains a lot of it. And he enlists Darcy and eventually Elizabeth to find out what's the up with this Earl. And I'm not going to give it away, but clearly there is something up with this Earl, because if you read the back of it or the description of any of the other books, Caroline is not described as being married to him. So you can read the book and find out. But basically, those two stories sort of started the ball rolling, and then I said, well, now I have a cast of characters that I really like working with, and there's a lot of things I could do with them. So let me just keep going until I run out of material, and then I'll stop. And it turned out that I had another 9 stories in me, and then I stopped at story 11, which became book 10, which, hopefully will be published. At the time of this podcast, it's now August 2011, only 4 of the books have been published, but they've all been written. And that's how much material I ended up having in me before I completely ran out of steam. Also, by then the characters were dead of old age, so there wasn't much what else I could do. So that's the book. If you have not bought it yet, or if you've not downloaded it or read it for free online, I encourage you to check it out. And if you've been listening to this podcast for 15 minutes and 30 seconds, I'm guessing you probably will. And I hope that you will. And I hope that you enjoy it and that you get your money's worth. Okay, part two for people who have read the book and want to know more about not how the book came to be published, but how the book came to be. Certain things about the book have really frustrated me over the years. It's not my best work. I'm just going to come out and say it. I get better as a writer as I go along. I started writing it when I was, I think I was 25 or 26 or something like that. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, I'm 29 now, but you get stronger as a writer as you get older. And also, I had done much more research about the period as I went along in the books, so I got better at writing the material. And the other books are just stronger. I mean, I just got off to a start with something that I wanted to do, this story. And I really, in the beginning, I focused on the characters because I just didn't know a lot about the time period. I knew more than the average person, but I didn't know a lot of specifics about daily life, which Austen doesn't discuss either, but she just knew because she lived in that time period. And I knew that I was going to make a ton of mistakes, so I just really focused on the characters and not the things around them. And the series kind of went forward that way. Eventually, I did do research and I did correct a lot of things when I went to go revise for publication. And my editor, Brandy, and the good people at Sourcebooks worked hard, very hard, to revise a lot of material. There weren't any plot lines that needed to be revised per se, because these are just characters doing things. But there were a lot of specific things, references to money, references, what you call the different servants, things like that, that really had to be gone back over and corrected. And then some stuff was missed, and people caught it and reviewed it. For example, I used the word pregnant, which you shouldn't use if you're writing Regency material. The word did exist, but people didn't use it. They used with child or increasing or in the family way. I don't think they used the third one very much, but they had euphemisms. They didn't say pregnant. They also didn't say okay. That word was not in their lexicon. They said, fine or all right. And the first book has a lot of okays. So no one caught that. It really went through a lot of hands before it became published. And I'm grateful for that, but I just kind of want to hit my head against a wall when I read it sometimes. I very rarely go over it, but when I do, I'm just like, ah, I should have caught that. The book structurally is really two stories. It's really three because you have that thing in the middle where basically they're just giving, the women are just giving birth. And I really, Darcy has a son first because I really just wanted to get the whole Darcy needs an heir thing out of the way. Like, there are some Pride and Prejudice sequels where he doesn't have a child or he doesn't have a son for a very long time, and it's a great source of anxiety for him and Elizabeth, and I just didn't want them to go through that. They had been through that in other books, and it wasn't a storyline I wanted to do, so I'm like, right out the front gate, let's give him a son. So that's how why he got a son, because he got a son, Bingley got a daughter. At this point, I had no intention of matching them up as people who are going to get married, but that's eventually what happens in the series. And also one of the things, Georgiana Bingley is born first, but one of the things that occurs a lot in Pride and Prejudice fanfic is that Jane has way more kids than Elizabeth, and she has them first, and Elizabeth has to wait a little while and then has a kid. And I didn't want to do that because it had been done. So, which is kind of a theme in my work, is I read a lot of other people's work and I say, okay, they did that. That's fine for them. That worked out. I want to do something else. I don't want readers to buy the same books over and over again. So Jane is pregnant faster and she gives birth, but only 2 weeks ahead of Elizabeth. And in the end, they have even scorecards. They both have four kids. Bingley has two sons and two daughters, and Darcy has one son and three daughters. So, it's pretty much an even thing for them. I really, that was not a plot line I wanted to do. So, anyway, it's problematic story structure. Really, the second story is much better, in my opinion. It's less jokey and it's an actual story. It also has swords and a sword fight and a guy swinging from a chandelier. So, I think it's just a better story. I actually wrote, and this is available on my website in the forums, an alternate version of that story, if it had gone differently, if what happened off screen in the second story, the question of consent, is that before it started, Dr. Maddox proposed to Caroline and she said no, and they didn't speak of it to anyone. And when we start off the story, that has already happened. And I wrote an alternate version in which she doesn't say no first initially, but a couple days later she goes to his apartment and says yes. And they're secretly engaged for a little while. And I really, really liked the alternate version, even though it doesn't fit with the series at all. I just, I enjoyed writing it. I think it came out well. So if you like going to my website, then, go into the forums. And, it's called the Question of Consent Bizarro version. And it also involves, Darcy and Bingley doing some investigating, but this time it's of Dr. Maddox, who has a pretty spotless record. And anyway, so other issues with this book that are Dr. Maddox as a character, I was really, really excited about introducing him, but I was really worried because he was the first major non-Pride and Prejudice character that is in the series. Everyone else pretty much was in the book, is an Austen character. And introducing original characters is always tricky in fan fiction. They can't be too perfect, and if they're evil, they have to be, defeated and disposed of, as the Earl of Kincaid is. But to make them lasting and to make readers care about them, they have to be, extremely complex and really fit in somehow. And Dr. Maddox, when I was looking for someone to pair with, to imagine who Miss Bingley ends up with, Dr. Maddox is really, he, in many ways, he is the opposite of Darcy, but he has a lot of the qualities in Darcy that are incredibly endearing, which are loyalty and honesty and just, being an incredibly resolute, stand-up person. He shares that with Darcy, but he's not rich. He is very well-mannered, but he doesn't spend most of his time in decent society. He spends most of his time with his patients. And at this time period, there were three levels of medicine. There was the apothecary, which is the bottom level, which is the guy who sells you things that don't, make you better. Then there's the surgeon, who does the majority of the work. And much more than just surgery. And then there's the doctor. And the doctor doesn't really do much. The doctor kind of looks at you and prescribes something. And if and there were it you know it was said that you were not a good doctor if you actually touched your patient, though that was not always the case. And the doctor would refer to you to a surgeon if you needed something done. The surgeons really, they did the brunt of the medical work. And a lot of doctors were surgeons, because they actually wanted to treat their patients. And he is a doctor who has a very low reputation in society for reasons entirely out of his control, because his brother gambled away his fortune, and it sort of all the debts got stuck on him, and he gets blacklisted. This is all before the book. So he really travels with very low company, which you don't see as much. You see it a lot in the second book, because he hangs out with prostitutes. He doesn't hang out with prostitutes, but he goes to houses of prostitution to treat patients who need treating. Usually, in the case of the second book, it really works out for him because he ends up running into royalty, and but otherwise, he's not a person who spends his time doing things that proper gentlemen are supposed to be doing with their time, like not working and eating and hanging out and spending money. He's a very hard worker, and I don't know why I made him very tall, but he is very tall. And he wears glasses, which is not. People did it in the Regency England, but they generally didn't do it full time when they were younger. But he is pretty impaired, and he knows that he's going blind, that he'll eventually go blind. Though I never name what degenerative, disorder he has, he just is eventually going to go blind. Some things I don't have to name because at the time period they didn't have names for them, so it's useless for me to name them anyway. And he's very learned. He's far more learned than Darcy. Darcy knows things that he needs to know, and he knows them very well, and he did go to college, though you could go through college and not learn anything except how to race carriages if you really wanted to. But Dr. Maddox knows just a tremendous amount. He knows a bunch of languages. It turns out that the whole Bingley family is sort of gifted in languages, so Caroline knows more languages than a learned lady should really know. And they get along, and that's how they met, is by speaking to each other in Italian, which no one around them knows. And she just connects with him, which, even though, she's considered to be, a bad character, a harpy character, he kind of was designed to bring out the better qualities in her, or the best qualities in her. When she finds someone who can love her unconditionally, she responds to that by basically loving them unconditionally. At this point, when he's introduced, Darcy is gone. Darcy is married. She doesn't have anywhere to go. She kind of put, all of her eggs in one basket with Darcy, and then didn't end up marrying him. And now she's older and has kind of a reputation for being very annoying. And her brother is no longer on the market either, so he's not going to all of these balls where she could meet people. And she's really very trapped. And Dr. Maddox just kind of enters her world at that moment. And, she realizes eventually that he's the guy that she should be with and she should spend the rest of her life with him. Though they, as people, as they have a very different marriage than, say, Darcy and Elizabeth have this deep emotional connection, and they occasionally talk about their feelings, though Darcy does it, in his traditional Darcy manner, very reluctantly. Caroline and Daniel being Dr. Maddox's first name, Caroline and Daniel have kind of a more, not, I don't want to say abrasive, but they are much more honest with each other, and they just really know where they are in their marriage, throughout the books. And they've, they both have shortcomings, and they have both learned to accept those shortcomings and to, appreciate the things that they do have as a result of what they've gone through to get where they are. In the case of Caroline Bingley, being this rejected society dilettante who ends up not being very good at what she wants to do, which is marry Darcy. And for Dr. Maddox, spending many years impoverished. At one point, the story doesn't go into this. I wrote a side story that did. He almost died of cholera from treating patients. No, actually, now I'm remembering that I think book 9 mentions that this happened. And they make each other happy, which is really the most important part of an effective marriage, is making the other person happy, which they do. And as a result of them both being happy, Dr. Maddox becomes more settled and less nervous, and Caroline becomes a character that you actually like to have around. And I was very happy with that. I think that's the greatest achievement of the early part of the series, is that relationship working out, and then them becoming, I basically viewed the early series, the first four books, as being about three couples, Darcy and Elizabeth, Bingley and Jane, and then Dr. Maddox and Carolyn. So, those three couples. And then occasionally you have Brian and Princess Naughty, whose full name I can't pronounce. I really can't. It was pronounced once for me, and I can't actually pronounce it in with my own mouth. But, those three couples become central, and the children that they have become central to the rest of the series when the children get old enough to be central characters. So that's pretty much what I have to say about my first book. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have questions about the first book, I can make a list of them and answer them. I'm more than happy to talk about any part of the first book, really any part of the series that people want to know. How did this come to be? As long as it's not a question I've answered a million times on my blog, like, why are you inspired by Pride and Prejudice? I don't know, because it was inspiring. Or, what quality, why is Mr. Darcy so great a character? Which is kind of a non-starter. I get a lot of questions about Elizabeth Bennet too. What do you see in her? I'm like, I don't know. She's the protagonist of Jane, she's a protagonist of Pride and Prejudice. That's what I see in her. I like her a lot because she's the character you're supposed to like. She's a great character, but she's also a character you're supposed to like. So, I kind of have no comment to those types of questions with that are inherently obvious, and I have much more to say about other characters. Obviously, the characters that I've written, and also the characters like Caroline Bingley, that I've kind of reinterpreted and just said I want to do a different spin on this, even though I don't want to totally change their character. I want to do something else. I want to show them in a different light. I want to show them in a different setting and see if, everyone in my series, for the most part, deserves happiness. And if they try hard enough, they get it. And if they don't try, then they don't get it. But everyone tries pretty hard, and that's kind of the overwhelming theme of the series. Is if you deserve, if you stick by, your morals and your family, eventually it pays out, and you're happy with what you have. So anyway, thanks for listening, and I should be back with another podcast about the second book, which is called The Plight of the Darcy Brothers. And at that point, if you haven't read the book, you can find out why I say the Darcy Brothers when Mr. Darcy doesn't have any brothers. Anyway, stay tuned for the next podcast, and thanks for listening.